Morning. Today's daf is daf Yirches in Zvachim, and we begin at the two dots on Yitzayin Amud Beis and Mechus Begadim. We will talk about clothing today. Today, daf Yirches in Zvachim is all about clothing. Clothing makes a man, and today we will learn that more than ever. Clothing really does make the man. Clothing makes the Kohen. Yeah. It also makes a man, but okay. The Mishnah told us that the beginning of the second parak of Zvachim, which we started a couple days ago, taught us that there are disqualifiers, things that if a Kohen were to do the Avoda, or for that matter a non-Kohen, but a certain Kohanim while doing the Avoda will disqualify the Avoda, meaning that they simply put you got to start all over again, start from scratch. It's a deal breaker. And the Mishnah gave us a list of 10 things which are psulim, which are disqualifiers. The first one is not a Kohen, the first one is a Zar, it's a non-Kohen, but after that point in time, all the other psulim mentioned in the Mishnah are referring specifically to Kohanim. For various reasons are psul, and the Mishnah listed the 10 different types of psulim, and there's an 11th one also in the Mishnah, which is controversial, which is doing it with your left hand, but aside from which we happen to also find, halacha is also psul as well, is also a disqualifier. But and then what the Gemara proceeded to do is Kedarka Bekodesh, as the Gemara does in its normal way, is it goes and it seeks a source for every one of the psalm that are mentioned in the Mishnah. We talked about Zar, we talked about a non-Kohen, and we know that he is disqualified from doing the Avoda. And if he does the Avoda is disqualified. Remember, the Mishnah told us this is Mikabala Ve'elech, this is from the accepting of the blood and onward, right? Because that requires a Kohen. Onain, we talked at length about an Onain doing the Avoda. Onain is a Kohen who has suffered the loss of one of his relatives on that day, Boba Yom. And for that day, he cannot do the Avoda. Any Avoda he does is going to disqualify. We talked at length about that yesterday. We talked about the exception to the rule, which is a Kohen Gadol. We talked yesterday about a Tful Yom and Mechusar Kippurim. Both of them we talked about yesterday. And then we're up to finally now in the Mishnah, Mechusar Begadim. So a Kohen who is deficient in his clothing, Parshas Tetzaveh, goes through all the clothing of a Kohen. Kohen's ensemble, his wardrobe, is a very simple wardrobe. It's mechnesayim, it's pants. It's a avnate, it's a belt. Well, actually the belt goes over. It's a midovad. It's tunic. Now, there's another word for it. The Torah describes it as midovad, and there's another word the Torah uses to describe it. And me'il, or is that by the Kohen Gadol? Okay. And finally, the mikvah, the hat. Okay. And that's it. That's your ensemble as a Kohen Hedger, as a regular Kohen. Okay. So it's pants, tunic, belt, and hat. That's it. We'll learn later on this morning. That's it. Cohen cannot wear anything else other than that. Nothing can separate his skin and the clothing. And as we'll learn most about today, is the clothing has to be form fitting, has to be custom tailored, it has to fit him. Clothing that doesn't fit him is no good. And we will discuss today how no good it is, what the level of unacceptability if the clothing in fact is either too long or too short, or you know. Then the other thing, the other begadim that you need to know about is the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is meruba begadim. He wears additional clothing as well. He wears four additional layers of clothing upon him, which distinguishes him from the Kohen Hedger, from a regular Kohen. Okay. Yizayin Amidbeis, the two dots. Mechus begadim. Mi nalan. How do I know? How do I know? Ask the Gemara that if a Kohen is mechus begadim, if he's not wearing his clothing, the avoda that he does is pasul. Avoda is psul, I should say. So mi nalan am Rabbi Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, amatam ha'im ishmed Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, dam akrav. Pasuk looks like this one. Parshas Tetzav, v'chagarta osam avneit, aron uvanav, v'chavash lahem mikbaos. And he's going to tie a belt on Aaron and his sons, and he's going to wear a hat. V'haisa lahem kohuna l'chukas olam, and it'll be kohuna, and it'll be a kohen l'chukas olam forever. Right, laws forever. Bismash b'gedem aleihem kunas cham aleihem, ain b'gedem aleihem, ain kunas cham aleihem. And the Gemara says it very clearly. Right, we talked today's entire daf could be titled "Clothing Makes the Man." But really, that is exactly how the drasha works. When they're wearing the begadim, they are kohen, they're kohanim. when they're not wearing the beganim, they're not kohanim. Look at Rashi. Rashi couldn't say it any clearer. Rashi says, "Vaitalem halavisha hazos lekohuna, alma kohuna sam tluya bevigdayhem." Their kohuna is dependent on their clothing. The ilah havalu zarim. And if they don't wear the begadim, says Rashi, they're not kohanim. They're zarim. And we already established in the beginning of this parak, uvizar ashkechan demachel avoda. We know that a zar is mochel be'avoda. If he does the avoda, if a non-kohen does the avoda, he profanes the avoda. So the way the drasha works, it's unbelievable, is that when a kohen's not wearing his begadim, he's essentially not a kohen.
So in terms of when they receive the percentage, you know, like...
Correct. This is a I mean,
what are you suggesting the Beit HaMikdash?
It's in the Beit HaMikdash, right? It's one of the defining. It's one of his right. It's part of his part of the avoda is to wear the clothing. But the way we're learning it now, it's amazing. It really is amazing. The way we're learning it now is that it really is what makes him a kohen in the Beit HaMikdash. You're right. In other words, when he walks out of the Beit HaMikdash, he's a kohen, right? He'll be, thank you so much, he'll be called up for an aliyah, you know, even if he's not wearing his big day kahuna. But in the Beis HaMikdash, as part of doing the avoda, the clothing makes the man. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara now is going to point out that it's a drasha. It's quoted by Amarayim, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. Some quote it in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the Gemara says, but we have other sources as well that teach us this very same halacha, that in order to do the avoda, kohen must be wearing all of his begadim. The Tanya we learned in a brisa, minan lishtu yayin, shim abad chilo tamalomer yayin v'shechar al teisht. Right, and the if a kohen is drunk, okay, right, if he can't pass his breathalyzer test, so shesu yayin, so he's mechal the avoda. Any avoda that he does is going to be profaned. It's going to be disqualified. So the pasuk says, shouldn't drink wine, which is in Parsha Shmini, which is one of the reasons why we think, the Midrashim think, that Nadav and Avihu, one of the things they did wrong is they drank wine.
That's what they think. I thought they knew it.
Well, there are multiple opinions in terms of what exactly they did wrong. One of them, because of the juxtaposition over here, is that they drank. Ula havdo bein hakodesh uvein hachol, and to separate between kosher and chol. So good. So and if you put these two psukim together, meaning you'll see basically that if you're drunk, so you're going to make chol. You're going to make something profane. Meaning you're going to do the avoda. You're going to disqualify the avoda. Mechus begadim mishlo richus yadam regalai minayim. Good. That so far the brice has only taken us to the point of drinking. What about not wearing your clothing? What about or not wearing all your clothing? Let's say, or what about not washing your hands and feet? How do I know that they're included as well in this idea of chulin, of profaning the avoda? Minayin tamalamer chuka chuka l'gzereshava. So the Gemara says it's built in l'gzereshava, right? By shesui yam, the pasuk says Rashi, the top Rashi in the page, chukas olam mechus begadim. It says kuhuna lechukas olam rechitzas yad v'regel k'siv Rashi v'haisal lehem lechukas olam. So you have the word chuka by all three of those. So now we have a link. We have our gzereshava link. So if it's a mechalel by the shesui yayin, it will also be a mechala by the others as well. So what the Gemara is bothered? It didn't. Shesui yayin is in the Mishnah. No, if it isn't, I know why. It's not in the Mishnah, and I know why. Top Tosfos on the first Tosfos in the Perek. Right? You're correct. Balmom shesui yayin puri rosh mishum deksib mehem chila behedja. By the Mishnah didn't list the psulim which are explicitly mentioned in Chumash.
Right, Jerusha,
okay.
Yes. Oh, and that's as if it's yeah, it is explicit.
Right, correct. So she's you're right. It's correct. But we have shesui yayin. So now we have xerishava. So it includes also mechus begadim and includes not washing your hands and feet. But so here's where we are in the Gemara now. Which the Gemara says I'm a little confused because we have xerishava that teaches us that mechus begadim, a kohen is not wearing his clothing, is not wearing all of his clothing. He's going to be mechal the avoda. And meanwhile, you had a beautiful drasha before. Achagarta some of neid aron vanav vechavashalem mikbaos vahaisalem kuhuna. So, right, when you wear the clothing, you're a kohen. With such a beautiful drasha. And meanwhile, the gzereshava seems to do enough on its own. What's the need for both of them? Ime hasam top line of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ime hasam hava mina hanimila avoda de zar chayv ala misa. Avoda de ein zar chayv ala misa. Ema lo. The Gemara says, look, if it had just been for the Gzera Shava, it would have been very limited in terms of its application. Right? Only avoda shehazar chayev ala misa. Now, we'll see this again and again throughout this perek. When you're not a Kohen and you're doing the avoda, so it's serious. As we have already established, you're going to be mechal the avoda. Under certain circumstances, you're also going to be chayev misa b'dei shamayim. Right, just a shade under kares, okay, and that's if you are a non-Kohen doing the avoda. However, for the misa bidei shamayim punishment, that's not for every avoda that you do. That's only limited in which avodas that includes. Rashi over here gives us a short list of when is a non-Kohen going to be chayav misa when doing the avoda. Rashi, second Rashi on the page. The pasuk goes on to say, when you go into Ol Moed, velo samusu, and don't die. The avoda sheish b'chi of misa lepsulim hakasa medaber. And Rashi quotes, there's a Gemara later on, that the pasuk is dealing with those avodas which are going to be chayav misa, the eino ella arba avodos, and Rashi gives us a very short list over here. Only four avodas where if a non-Kohen were to do it, he'd be chayav misa bidei shamayim, and they are zrika, haktara, nisa chamayim v'ayayin. It's sprinkling of the blood, it is the burning of the fats of the animal, it is the pouring of the water and the pouring of the wine, and that's it. Meaning, to be clear, if a non-Kohen does the avoda, any avoda he's mechal, right? The avoda becomes profaned, right? He disqualifies whatever he's working with. When is he going to be chayv misa bidei shamayim? Limited, only for the four that are mentioned over here. Kidalfina beperek beis b'seder yuma. So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Yuma: Meva avadatam avoda matana v'hazar hakarev yumas avoda matana v'lo avoda siluk. So first of all, it has to be avoda matanah. It has to be something where you're giving to the mizbeach, right? Zrika, you're giving to the mizbeach. You're sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. Haktara, you're putting fats on the mizbeach. Nisuch mayim, nisuch yayin, you're pouring water or wine on the mizbeach. So it has to be avoda matanah. Va'avadatem avoda tama. I'm sorry, va'avadatem, and the Gemara Darshan's in Yuma, avoda tama. Right? We have the similar drasha by lekach tem. Lekicha tama, avadatem avoda tama. It has to be a concluding avoda. V'lo avoda sheyesha chare avoda. If it's an avoda where it has another step afterwards that's not included as well, kigon kabbalah v'holachu kmitza. And Rashi gives an example, a list of examples of those which are not concluding avodas. Good. So we're really limited in terms of when a non-Kohen does the avoda. When is he going to be chayv misa b'dei shamayim? So what Rashi now is explaining the Gemara. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that had it just been for the Gzeira Shava, I would have thought that this psul is only limited for Misa-related avodas. Right? Like the four that Rashi quotes. Zrika, Akhtara, Nisach, Mayim, and Yayin. However, the Kmitz V'chochiv Misas B'psul Avoda Mizaros Kamrina Kedam Be'verak Basra HaKomets V'Abola V'Ayotzek. Okay?
What if he puts on the clothing?
Just one second. Ve'im ba'em lo mishem zars, ve'lo mishem tum, ve'lo mishem chus begadim, ve'lo mishem shalav rachat yadam raglaim, ama mizar gamrinan. Fine. I'm sorry. So this is what I would have thought had it just been up to the gzeres shava. So let's go back to the Gemara. Let's read this inside the Gemara. Ime ha'asam ha've minahani milavo de dezar chayav ala misa avavo de de'in zar ala chayav misa eim alo. I might have thought no. Meaning that since, and it's really not bad logic. Meaning, since they're not chayav misa for doing it, I might have thought they don't pasul. It doesn't disqualify the avoda. Kamash malan, so that's the chiddush. The need for the additional drasha is no. Is that just like a non-Kohen that does the avoda, is mechal the avoda, so too a Kohen not wearing all of his begadim is going to be mechal the avoda, even in a situation where the chiv is not a chiv misa.
So meaning that it's not his invalidation is not limited to the four considerations, but could be to any.
Absolutely right. There is no direct correlation between being chayv misa and disqualifying the avodah.
Expand the
correct. The so that the second drasha is expansive.
Okay.
Good. Ashkechay mechutz begadim shesu yayim in alan. So the Gemara says good. So now we've established it by mechutz begadim because of our double drasha. What about shesu yayin? So ashe chuka mechutz begadim. So the Gemara says, well, we're learning it out from Gzeira Shava, from Mechusa Begadim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Hatana Ula Havdil Bain Kanasav Lay. So the Gemara says, wait a second. What did you just do over there? You just learned Gzeira Shava from Mechusa Begadim to Shesuya Yayin. How did you just do that? The starting point of the Bryce, so if you look back on the previous page, at the end of the previous page, the starting point was, we know Shesui Yain, you know if you're drunk, you're going to be Mechal the Avoda because of the Pesukim. Yain V'shech Ha'al Teish, Tfar Abay, L'Hav Debein Kosh Menachol. So the Gemara says, V'hatanu L'Hav Dil Bein, Kanasav Le Mekamed Aleikum Gzera Shava. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, you're right. In other words, the Pesukim would have been nice, but now that we have Gzera Shava, there's no need for the Pesukim. In other words, the Braisa brought the Pesukim down as if to show you, look, I could go via Pesukim, but now I have Gzera Shava, and the Gzera Shava is really all you need. The Hatana Mechusa Begadim Hu Tekayalev Mishesuya Yayin. So the Gemara says, still, I'm not so convinced, because in the Braisa, we were learning Mechusa Begadim from Shesuya Yayin. And now you want to go in the other direction? Now you want to learn Shesui Yam from Mechusa Begadim? Hachi Kamer. Minayin Shalom Nechluku Bein Mechusa Begadim L'Shesui Yam U'Shalo Rachat Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the Gemara says, how do I know that there's no distinction between any of these categories? Tamalam Chuka Chuka L'Gzer Shava. So the Gemara says, because of Chuka Chuka, meaning once I have the Gzer Shava, I now know not to distinguish. And it's not limited to your Avodah Tama. It includes all avodas as well. And if any one of them, your kohen doesn't wear enough clothing, your kohen didn't wash his hands and feet, your kohen who's drunk, if any one of them does any avoda, he's mechal the avoda, he desecrates the avoda. Good. Now, turns out now that once we have a gzera shava, the lahavdil, it's not necessary. Right? So the Gemara now is bothered by that. Ela lahavdil lamali. So why do I have the pasuk lahavdil ben korsh ben achol? So the Gemara says, lecha derav. Derav la mukim amora alem yomatov lachavrei mishum shechras. Because you cannot paskin while you're drunk. Right? So you can't drink and drive, and you can't paskin and drive as well. Rav would not set up an amora. An amora over here means...
Can't drink and paskin.
Right? Can't drink and paskin. Did I say drive and paskin?
And drive.
Yeah, yeah.
As
long as you don't text it. So the...
this also means like making verdicts in the community.
Correct. I mean, it also means that as well. But here, in the context where the Gemara says, Rav didn't set up an amora. Right? An amora, whenever the Gemara uses this word amora, it means one of two things. It means an interpreter. It means a broadcaster, right? Like a human microphone. Rav would sit in the front of the room and he would give a shiur and he would tell it over. He didn't have the voice to boom and to broadcast. So he would tell it over to his amora, and his amora would broadcast the information to the rest of the room.
Did they also add explanation that?
Yeah, sometimes you find in the Gemara, like the Amara says something like he shouldn't have said. Like he added,
right.
He editorialized a little bit. So you find that every now and then the Gemara. And the Rebbe who's sitting next to him like gives him a kick like, no, that's not what I meant. You do find that every now and then. But in other words, Rav would not set up the Amora for the remainder of the day, meaning after his Yontav meal. So he was a little bit intoxicated. He had wine at his Yontav meal. So that's it. In other words, for the rest of the day, he would be in the Beis Medrash, but he wouldn't say anything publicly.
Steisel says we had it on Yud Dalet, on the Dalet. That's the Amorai. Those were specifically the mature government who added...
Right, correct. Mishum Shechus. Okay, so... Okay, good. We're in the... So we have now Gzera Shava. We basically took out the pasuk lahavdil bein kosher v'nechol. The Gemara says that's not necessary, and we also have a drasha v'chagata osam avneit. And through the combination of all that, we've now arrived at the conclusion that a kohen who's mechus begadim is going to be mechal the avodah. He will desecrate the avodah, which we already knew. The Mishnah told us, but now we have our drashas and we have our Gzera Shavas, and we're good. The Gemara says, however, it's not yet a finished picture. The Gemara says, I'm going to show you one other pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'nasnu b'nei Aaron haKohen ish al haMizbeach." I hope I said the rest of the pasuk correctly, right? B'nei Aaron places a fire on the Mizbeach. It's the very beginning of Vayikra, right? It just tells us that the Kohen has to make sure that before you put anything on the fire, there needs to be a fire, right? Putting a fire on the Mizbeach is simply putting wood on the Mizbeach. Obviously, lighting the wood, but there has to be a fire in the mizbeach. And the Gemara darshens, it's a funny place for a drasha, bikihu no, meaning the word hakohen means he has to be in his kohen state. Well, what do you mean he has to be in his kohen state? So the Gemara says limina kohen gadol shlavash big day kohen hedjav avad avodas apstula. So the Gemara says, what do we darshen over here? That let's just imagine that we're talking about a kohen gadol. Now we could be. Meaning, the Torah is not clear about this. The Torah just simply says Kohen. But it could be the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol goes up there, but he's not wearing his Shmona Begadim, his Eight Begadim, but he's only wearing his Dalet Begadim, he's only wearing four, it will be Pasul. Because he's not Biki who know. Now this Joshua sounds very similar to the Joshua that we quoted earlier. But the Gemara is just bothered. Why is there a necessity to repeat for a Joshua? So the Gemara says, look, because I would have thought that this idea that a Kohen who does the Avodah is passing the Avodah is only limited to Avodah which is Ma'akev, an essential Avodah, like Shechita, Kabbalah Sadam, Holacha, Zrika. Those are essential Avodahs. If you miss one of those, if you miss one of the big four, that's it. The Avodah is not, it's not good. It's not a kasher avoda. But if it's a non-essential avoda, like the taking the limbs and putting the limbs on the fire, right? I might have thought that, okay, should be wearing his clothing, but if he doesn't, okay, so he's not wearing his clothing. So and that's what I have this additional drasha for. The akasi ma'acha nafka me'asim nafka, the Gemara goes back to the first parak of Vayikra. V'archu b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es ha-nesachim. The pasuk goes on to describe how the Kohen takes the limbs of the Karban Olah and places the limbs on the Mizbech. And again, you have the word Aaron HaKohanim. And I guess the Gemara is just bothered by the fact that it's superfluous. You don't need the Torah to keep telling me that Aaron is one of the Kohanim. You know that already. So again, the Gemara darshan HaKohanim B'Kiwanam. And what do we darshan over here? Mikan LaKohen Hedger Shalavash Bigdei Kohen Gadol V'Avar Avodas HaPsula. I learned out from over here that if you're a regular Kohen, and you're wearing the Shmona Begadim of a Kohen Gadol, no good. You possibly disqualify. Why do I have that? Why do I need that drasha? Gemara says, no, but that I understand though. Because there is a tremendous chiddush. I would have thought, listen, it's a deficiency in clothing which is a disqualifier. You happen to be wearing excessive clothing. Okay, so I'm wearing too many clothing. I understand. So I would have thought that that might not have been a ma'akev, and the Gemara says no. It's a poso. It's a disqualifier as well.
You mentioned shkita before. You think that a kohen that doesn't wear kavanah
would be shkita?
He would ruin it. Since a zar could do it also.
Right.
He would ruin it.
Right. So that's a fair point. That's a very right. It seems like if he doesn't, right? You're right. You want to maybe suggest? I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. You want to suggest that a Kohen ill dressed is worse than a zar? I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because some of these avodas a zar could do,
right?
But a Kohen not dressed can't do, right? I don't know what, because I don't remember well enough to say it.
It's being
recorded, but it must be
something. I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now for the remainder of today's daf, we talk about tailoring. Okay, you know the feeling. You take your pants. You brought them to a tailor. You come back. You put them on. Right? You know that feeling. They don't fit. It wasn't like when you set it up, and you're a little frustrated now. So good. So that's just a little bit of frustration. How about disqualification of the avoda if the clothing do not fit? Now I keep talking about mechtesaim. I talk about pants. It happens to be they wore pants. Right, one of the four begadim of the Kohen is mechnasayim. He wore pants. But the pants were kind of like they were pants, but they were like undergarments, if you will. The thing that really was that went from shoulder down to toe was the tunic that he wore. So the tunic got a serious tailoring to make sure that it actually went from his shoulder down to the bottom, down to his feet. So Tanu Rabbanan, Hayu Mirushalem. If the clothing is too long, dragging on the floor, Misulakin, too short. Now I don't know how much too short is. Meaning I know that when you put the pants on and you can see a little bit of ankle, right, in our appreciation of what is quote unquote style, so that's too short. I don't know exactly from a halachic standpoint, from a big day kahuna standpoint, what does it mean too short? Rashi writes, all I got to work with is Rashi. Rashi says, Mesulakim in a karka mitoch shehem ktsarim. They're not on the ground. I don't know. It sounds like it's got to like hit foot.
Top of your shoes or something.
But they didn't. You're right, but they didn't wear shoes. So, but yeah, we're basically talking the same length. Meaning it's basically got to, you know, go down to the ground without hitting the ground. Sounds like we're in that area. Mishu chakim, if they are worn out, clothing is old clothing. The avad avoda sok shera. So the Braisa says that's all acceptable. Too long, too short, too old clothing, that is. So that's acceptable. Love shnei mechnasayim shnei avnei tim chaser achas yeser achas osha isa lo ritia amaka besar tachas bigdo osha ya mitush tashim o mikuraim va'avad avoda sapsula. Then the Braisa gives a list of things which are unacceptable. Two pairs of pants, two belts.
What does he mean, one or too many? He's got holes in it or something?
If he's missing any one of the clothing, if he's adding any one of the clothing, if he has a bandage so that the clothing doesn't actually make contact with his skin, it makes only contact with the bandage. Or if it was metush tashim, if it was dirty, muddy, or if it was torn. So those are all unacceptable, and that will disqualify the avodah.
If a kohen has like a wound that wears bandages, is it considered a balmum from that, or that's
yeah, the Gemara in Erevin, the end of Erevin has a discussion about him wearing a bandage. Right, I don't know how I remembered that. It's the 10th parak of Erevin. Mishnayos over there talk about wearing a bandage while doing the avodah. Okay, I don't. That's it. The fact that I got that much is awesome. But okay, so the right, so the Mishnah, the Braisa gives us a list of things which are okay, not great, but okay, and then the Braisa gives us a list of things which are not okay. So if your tunic is too short or too long, one other thing, if it's old, right? If it's an old, so that's okay. Not great, but it's okay. Right? Bidiyavid, it's fine. However, wearing too much clothing, too little clothing, too much meaning an extra garment, or wearing only three of the four, that's unacceptable. Not having it come into contact with the skin, either muddy or torn, that's unacceptable. That will disqualify.
The clothing was provided by Beit HaMikdash, right?
You're right.
So they had tailors for them because they would change, right? They had their,
Each one had to be tailored.
Like 26 groups.
20, right. 24.
They would come and measure their
right? Each one had their own tailored clothing. Correct.
So every time they got blood on it.
Right. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mirushalim Ksherim Misulakim Psulim. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So now after learning the Braisa, so now we're going to go through the Amorayim. So Rav Yehuda quotes the name of Shmuel as follows. If it's too long, that's okay, but if it's too short, that's no good. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What are you talking about? The Braisa just told us that too long and too short are both acceptable. Not the best, not lechachila, but acceptable. And meanwhile, Shmuel is quoted as saying that if it's too short, it's no good, it's pasul. V'hatanya misulakin ksherim. So the Gemara is bothered exactly by this question. How is Shmuel going to deal with the Braisa? And Shmuel can't just simply contradict the Braisa. It doesn't work that way. So Gemara gives a very interesting answer. The Braisa that says it's okay is talking about really it fits. Like really it does work. Meaning if he just wore the tunic the tunic actually goes down to where it's supposed to go. Not dragging on the floor, but not showing any leg. Okay, it's good. It just happens to be that now that he wears a belt, and he tucked a couple of layers underneath the belt, and now it's hiked up, the Braisa says that's okay. Again, not lechatchila, but that's okay. Because there is enough material that it would work. That's the Braisa. Shmuel, who says that it's possible, is talking about where there's simply not enough clothing. There's not enough material. It does not go. It cannot go down to the floor. That's where Shmuel says it's possible, and that's how Shmuel will learn the Braisa. Rav Amar, Echazev Echazev Psulim. Now Rav has an even more interesting position. Rav says too short and too long are both possible. Now for Shmuel, we had it easier because he only contradicted the Braisa on one point, and we were able to, you know, we somehow got around it. But for Rav's perspective, it's very difficult. Rav, Huna Ikla. Okay, and we're gonna point that out in just a moment. First, a little story. Rav Huna Ikla Argize, Ramale Bar Ushpizichna. Okay? Rav Huna, who was a student of Rav, remember, he went to the town of Argiza, and he was questioned by the son of the innkeeper, right? The hotel that he stayed by. So his son apparently was knowledgeable in learning, and his son asked him the following question: Mi amar Shmuel Merushalm Ksherim Mesulakim Psulim V'Hatayim Mesulakim Ksherim. So first of all, how did you understand Shmuel's position? Right, this is what he asked Rav Huna. How did you understand Shmuel's position? The Braisa says too long and too short are okay, and Shmuel says too short is not okay. So I'm related to Rav Huna says, Bar Mina Da'i, Dishanei Rami Bar Chama. So Rav Huna says, look, we don't have a problem with that, because remember, Rami Bar Chama already provided us our answer. So we're good with Shmuel. Elo L'Rav Kasha. Good. We're okay with Shmuel, but for Rav, we're not okay. Rav is really difficult. V'chitem amayim Yerushalayim Mesulakin Ha'idei Avneit. V'avneit Megas Gayez. So look, so maybe you'll tell me that when it says Merushalim, it's dragging, Mesulakin Ha'idei Avneit. So you know what? It could very well be that if it's too low, so you know what you do? So you tuck it under the belt. Meaning you fold it underneath the belt once or twice, and good. And that's how you're able to take a too long garment and bring it up. But, and that's fine. And that would be acceptable. But what that demonstrates is that whatever you do with the belt actually modifies the clothing. Meaning, so you're telling me now that a belt is able to adjust the clothing. So whatever you're wearing at the length as right now, meaning even though you've used the belt to help you, the belt is megas gayez. The belt cuts it. Right, the belt actually adjusts its length. So the Gemara says, "Va'avne megas gayez ela mesulakin kasha." But then you're stuck on the other end, because if it's too short, so Rav says it's no good. So the Gemara says, "But how do you deal with the Braisa?" The Braisa says it is good. And what do you want to tell me? That, well, the Braisa is talking about a case where really there's enough material over there, and the Braisa says it, right? The Braisa says it is good. And if you're telling me that really there's enough material over there, he just hiked it up with his belt. You see, for Shmuel, that would have been fine. But it's not fine for Rav, because Rav just taught us that the belt cuts the garment. Meaning whatever height you've established with the belt is the actual height right now. You look at it as is. So if it's too short, according to Rav, it's going to be a deal breaker. Even though there's enough material, it doesn't matter. The belt actually adjusts it to whatever height it is right now. Kasha. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's difficult. I don't know how to learn Rav. Rav really defies the Braisa. I guess you could say Rav argues with the Braisa, right? Rav does have that ability. But in terms of trying to fit Rav into the Braisa, it's very difficult. Am Rabbi Zeira, Rav Chadatini. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer to defend Rav. Rav will take the Braisa and will treat it as one case. We've read the Braisa. We assume Braisa is talking about two cases. The Gemara says not necessarily. So Rav Chadatini. Mirushalim Shesilkan Ayide Avnate Kisherim, that if it's too long and you shortened it by tucking it under the belt, so then that would be kasher. Good. Okay, and that's the Mirushalim / Mesulakin. Meaning the Bryce is not dealing with two cases, dealing only with one case. Okay.
And Rav disagrees with that?
No, that's
Rav's position.
That's how Rav would understand the Bryce.
Okay.
right? If it's too long, and then you brought it under your belt to make it, that's what the word mesulak means. You adjusted it with the belt, that's okay.
But if it was too long,
but
the belt, what's the case where Rav would say it's not
covered? Either way, meaning if it's too long and it's not adjusted, that's no good. And if it's too short, that's also no good.
And if it was too long and it was pulled up too high, it's
and if it was too long, right? Michael's right. And if it's too long and pulled up too high, that's also no good. So the only, right? Yeah, according to Rav, it's got to be absolutely presentable. It's got to be actually a real fit every single time. And the truth of the matter is, it's really not the simple pshat in the braisa. The simple pshat in the braisa is that too long or too short are acceptable. And Rav defies the simple pshat in the braisa. If it's too long and you didn't adjust it, subject to a machlokis tanayim, right? Gemara makes a very interesting comparison in the world of halacha. The Tanya, we learned in the following braisa. We get to Menachos. One of the fascinating parts about Menachos is that we will spend about 2 weeks in Menachos learning about the halachas of tzitzis, of tefillin, of mezuzah. Right, it somehow makes its way into Menachos. When we get there, you'll see how it made its way there. So a lot of the halachas tam, Sefer Torah, Mitzvah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, are in Menachos, together with Tzitzis. So one of the things that we will learn over there is the following. It's a braisa. Al arba kanafos ksusecha. So you put Tzitzis on your four corners. Arba v'lo shalosh. And you have to have four corners. Three corners is not enough. You have a garment with only three corners, so it's not obligated tzitzis. Now, it's funny, I was thinking of a garment that's basically in the shape of a triangle, right? Some sort of robe in the shape of a triangle. Rashi is not as artistic as me. Rashi just simply says you round it off one of the corners. Okay, so it is a garment with four corners, but you rounded it off, so it's not a sharp 90 degree angle. It's now just round and circular, so now it only has three corners. Okay, either way, it would sound like, whichever the case is, maybe my example is no good because in my example they're not 90 degree angles, right? So that could be the problem with my suggestion.
A graduation gown where you have a tip in the back.
Right, right. Okay, either way, whatever the case is, so kanafas kasecha arba velo shalosh, so it has to be four corners, three is not good. Oeno arba velo chamish, but what if it's five? What if it's a five corner garment? Right, and it's a little bit strange, but you make a tear. Rashi describes you make a tear in one of the ends, and so now by that tear you're actually adding another corner. So now it's no longer four; now it's five. So kishu omer asher techasaba hare balas chamesh amur. Interestingly enough, that will be chayiv in tzitzis. Now, by the way, how many pairs of tzitzis will you be putting on there? A five corner garment. I think, right? You anyone want to? Want to take another side? I think you put four on. I don't think you put tzitzis on all five of them.
If it's five corners, it has to be six corners because you just made a tear. You just made two extra corners.
Right. I was thinking about that as well. Right. I was thinking about that. I'm not sure. All right, but let's just in the theoretical though, if we could somehow limit it to five corners, but still, the Torah says dalad, right?
Well, you can't solve five sides of a Rubik's cube.
Right. And okay, I'm with you. I understand your point. Anyway, I'm not sure if you put tzitzis on all five corners.
Does the Beit Kahuna have four corners?
Anyway, yeah, his does. Amar Haman Nimekayim Arba, Arba v'lo Shalosh. So Arba means four, but not three. Omari Yisla Rabbah's Balas Chamish Lotzi Balas Shalosh. So now the Braisa says five corner garment is fine, meaning chayv and tzitzis. A three corner garment is patur and tzitzis. How do you get that? Marba ni Balas Chamish Yesh Bechlal Chamish Arba. Because look, included in five is four, meaning when you have a five corner garment, you have four. You have four plus one. But you got four. When you have three is not four. Three is one less than four. So good. So one braisa says very clearly a five-corner garment is chayiv and tzitzis. Because how do we look at five? We look at five as four plus one. Right? That's our math for the day. Right? Five is really four plus one. Right? But in other words, it's essentially a tzitzis. It's a beged. It's a four-corner garment. And it just happens to have an additional garment. It's four plus one.
Wait, that whole any number of reports should be acceptable.
Right, right. V'tanya ida chalarba kinfos kusachem. Meanwhile, we have another braisa which is diametrically opposed and says no. Four means four. Four means four, not three, not five. Four means four. Arba v'lo shalosh, arba v'lo chamesh. So now the Gemara wants to give a svara, a hesber hamachlokes. How do you understand the two brises? One brisa says 5 is acceptable because 5 is really 4 plus 1. And the other brisa says no, 5 is unacceptable because when the Torah says 4, the Torah means 4. Not 5, not 3, 4. So my love, hakamiflugi, the marsava yester, command the isedami. Umar saver command the leisedami. So the Gemara says it's basically a question of how do we look at extra? When there is extra, do we just simply say, okay, there's extra, ignore it? Or no, do we not have the right to ignore it? It's interesting, very fascinating. And the Gemara says that could be the very same issue regarding the Kohen's begadim that's too long. It's dragging on the floor. It's got extra material. So what do we say? Do we say that, look, I know it's a little too long. I know it's dragging on the floor. It's extra. Ignore it. Just ignore it. Or do we say no? Do we say no? It's we can't ignore it. It's not kamandalei seidami. It's not like it doesn't exist. It's kamandi seidami, and it's too long. Now, of course, it's a very interesting comparison between the halachas of tzitzis and the halachas of a begadim, because as you can imagine, by begadim, right, if it's dragging on the floor, it just
the tzitzis are going to be on the floor.
Agreed. But aside from that, in other words, if it's dragging on the floor, it just doesn't fit. Meaning, it's not a function of there being too much material. It's a function of, it's not a begad, it just doesn't fit. So it is an interesting machlokas between the tzitzis and the begadim of the Kohen Gadol.
I would have thought what bothers me, the opposite there, he gives a number. Here then,
right,
there's
right.
No number, there's no sheer, right. No.
Right, right, right. So
the sheer is the floor.
There's no pasuk that says the floor.
Right, it says midovad, meaning midaso, it has to be his height. So the Kuli Amma Kaman Diyasei Dami. The Gemara says, no, don't look at it that way. In other words, when we have extra, we don't just ignore the extra. The extra is something that we have to take into consideration. V'shani hacha de Rabbi Rachman asher techasebah. We have a ribui. Meaning the Torah says asher techasebah. Those words are superfluous. Meaning, if I'm wearing a beged, obviously it's a beged that covers me. So what's the Torah trying to tell me asher techasebah? You know, the clothing that you use to cover yourself. Well, obviously. So the Asher Techasabah is coming to include, it's a ribui, even a beggar that has more than four corners. And again, the argument is, can't be a beggar less than four corners because the Torah says four. So if it has more than four corners, so it's four plus whatever extra corners you have. The Idach, Haisher Techasabah my Avidle. Now, good. So if that's our noop shot, so that's fine. That explains the position that five corners is okay because we have the riboy. What's the other Tana going to do? You know, the Tana that says that five is unacceptable. What does he do with Asher Techasabah? Mi baile lecha de Tanya, he needs it for the following brisa, which is, Uri isem oso prat lechsus laila. The Torah says you have to see the tzitzis. And that is excluding sus laila. Clothing, night. Let me just call it right now night clothing. And I'll better explain that in just a moment. Oeinu ala prat lechsus suma. What do you mean? Maybe ksusuma, maybe clothing of a blind man. He doesn't see his tzitzis, unfortunately. Kshuamer asher techasaba, harik ksusuma, amur. No, that's where we get it from, asher techasaba. Meaning that clothing is functional. If it covers you, it's clothing, it's a beged. So by a suma, does it cover him? Sure it does. So by definition, it's a beged, it's going to be chayv and tzitzis. So now that I know that, so that comes to exclude ksus laila, not the night clothing. And the Gemara says, why did you do that? Why did you include the clothing of a blind man and exclude night clothing? So the Gemara says, listen, it's very simple. Because the clothing of a blind man, so he may not be able to see it. Everyone else does. It's visible to everyone else. Umotzi aniksus laila she'ena b'ri'iyah etzel acherim. And meanwhile, naksus laila because ena ri'iyah etzel acherim, because nobody could see at night. And then let's just finish this up, and I'm going to come back to ksus laila. The idach nafkale me asher. The other Tana agrees with this halacha. Learns it out from the word asher. Asher techaseba. The Idach Asher Lo Darish, and the other one says, no, Asher is just simply not enough words in the Torah to make a drasha. Okay. We have over here, it's very interesting, we have over here a very clear pitur that when you're wearing your ksus laila, you doesn't need tzitzis. Okay? What does that mean? So basic machlokas, just in general, you should know this. When we get to Menachos, we're going to see this again. Basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush in terms of what Ksus Laila is. Rambam is of the opinion that Ksus Laila means nighttime. Right? According to the Rambam, if it's nighttime, your begadim that you wear, in other words, even if you're wearing a four-corner garment, at night, you're not. It's not chayv and tzitzis. So you can go out at night with a four-corner garment, and it's just a regular clothing, but it's nighttime and nobody can see it, and so therefore does not. It's not going to be obligated in tzitzis.
The requirement is that the night or it's seeing it, being able to see it, because if there is some light,
right? So it seems from the Rambam, just you know, it's a simple read of the Rambam is that as long as it's nighttime and it's not a time when people normally can see. I understand we can create light at night,
right.
But as long as it's nighttime, that creates an exemption because the pasuk says arisa mosal. That is the Rambam's opinion. The Rush disagrees. The Rush says no, it's not a function of the time. It's a function of what kind of clothing you're wearing, meaning if it's bedtime clothing, pajamas,
you wouldn't wear.
Right? So pajamas, if you're wearing four cornered pajamas, which I know is strange, but if you are, right, then in other words, your clothing specifically for the night, exclusively for the night, so the Rush says that you're not going to be that garment won't be chayiv in tzitzis. That's the definition of what Ksus Laila is. It's not talking about the time, it's talking about specifically the type of clothing. Right, obvious nafka means from the Rush and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, if you're wearing your pajamas during the day and it's four cornered, you're gonna have to put tzitzis on because it's the daytime. According to the Rush, if you're wearing pajamas during the day, but it's ksus laila, it's clothing of the night. It's not gonna be chayv and tzitzis. So you know your basic nafka means between the Rush and the Rambam how to understand the p'tur of ksus laila. Good. We've so far discussed today the disqualification of a kohen not wearing his big day kahuna. The drasha, certainly the nicest drasha of the morning is the drasha that when he's not wearing his begadim, he's simply not a kohen, right? The clothing really makes the man, makes the kohen. The Gemara learns other drashas as well that basically are necessary to tell us that the psul is not just for the essential avodas, not just for the avoda tama, the concluding avodas, but includes all avodas. And then we spent the second half of today talking about non-tailored clothing. The simple pshat in the Braisa is that non-tailored clothing is okay, it's acceptable. However, the Amoraim, most notably Rav, is of the opinion that non-tailored clothing is unacceptable. It's disqualified. Too long, too short. Rav says...
Do we go by Rav?
Rav says that despite the Braisa, Rav says if it's too long or too short, it's no good, it's disqualified.
But and
the,
says you can adjust it.
Rav also says it, well, that's only if it's too long.
Right.
If it's too short, it's, you know, won't be adjustable. And then the Gemara tries to make a comparison between the halachas of too long to the halachas of tzitzis, and the Gemara rejects such a comparison. Good.